It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. We'll speak with a new member of our Folkways Reporting Corps this morning about passing on the stories of Appalachia.
For me, I almost feel a sense of responsibility, and I've been tapped to tell the stories of people I grew up with.
That's coming up in just a few minutes. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The West Virginia Conservation Agency is now taking public comment on a new rule that would create a grant program for conservation projects across the state. Brittany Patterson reports.
The proposed rule outlines eligibility requirements and technical standards for grant recipients seeking funding from the State Conservation Committee through a newly created conservation grant program. The rule was created by a bill passed by the legislature last session. Senate Bill 655 authorizes the creation of a grant program to boost conservation projects that reduce soil erosion and protect West Virginia's waterways from sediment. In a press release, the West Virginia Conservation Agency says it is taking public comment through Saturday, June 29th on the proposed rule. The agency will also hold a public meeting on June 5th from 1 to 4 p.m. in Sutton. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson in Morgantown.
A new residential recovery center is opening its doors in Wheeling this June. The Serenity Hills Life Center will host an open house for the public today, as Corey Nollinger reports.
The open house at Serenity Hills Life Center will give community members a chance to tour the new facility. The facility, which sits on 150 acres just outside of Wheeling, will not only feature space for Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, but also have a gym, a space to take college classes, and what Serenity Hills Life Center director Sharon Travis describes as a space for patients to find themselves in sobriety.
It's a safe place, a quiet, nice, and relaxing place with friendly people that will make them feel at home, and they'll be able to take the time and focus on themselves and not worry about all the stress of the world.
Once open in June, the facility will have 72 beds for women in recovery and aims to provide a multidimensional, clinical, and outcome-driven treatment plan for patients according to the release. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Corey Nollinger in Wheeling.
The open house event to tour the women's recovery facility takes place today from 11:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Jeremy Farley is a self-taught expert on Appalachian storytelling. He grew up in Wythe County, Virginia, and is the founder of Appalachian Magazine. Jeremy is also one of the new 10 reporters with the Folkways Reporting Corps. Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly recently sat down with Jeremy to talk about Appalachian Magazine and his new position on the team.
Where did you get this idea to create Appalachian Magazine?
Around 2013, my great-grandfather was dying of old age, and I just realized that, you know, it was time for somebody to pen these stories that he had told my whole life, and I wanted my children to know them. And so I started just a very, very simple blog telling stories of Appalachia and telling stories that my grandfather had given me. And to my astonishment, you know, we got 10 subscribers that evening. Then the next day we had 50 subscribers. And within just a couple months' time, we had thousands of people who had subscribed to get our online articles about Appalachia. And little did I realize there was something bigger in the works there. And today, about 5 or 6 years later, I was able to quit my job and work full-time with Appalachian Magazine. And so we exist now in a print and online publication, have 160,000 Facebook fans, and it's just fascinating to me. Each week we're reaching 250,000 people. A few years into it, we started doing a demographic study to figure out where our readers are from and who was actually reading the publication. Up to that point, most of our articles had been geared toward West Virginia. To my astonishment, North Carolina, Ohio, and Florida were where all of our readers were coming from for the most part. And what we chalked that up to being was where West Virginia has seen such a mass exodus over the last couple of decades. There are a lot of people who have left the state, but they still feel a connection to home.
One article in particular that stood out to me that I could relate to was called The Kind of Men Who Carry Pocket Knives. And my daddy was always the kind of man who carried a pocket knife. And you'd always ask him, "Hey, Dad, you got your knife on you?" And he'd say, "Do I got my breeches on?" I really enjoyed this one. What inspired you to write this particular article?
As I recall, I was sitting in the library that day, and I saw a man and a woman come in, and the woman said to her husband, "Give me your pocket knife." And immediately, my eyes raised up, and I looked up, and he was a man that looked about like my father and looked about like the men that I grew up with. And as I was sitting there, and, you know, for them, it was just a something that took place that they didn't give any thought after. But for me, it kind of brought me back to my childhood, and it put me back in Moore's Gun Shop, was a place in Graham's Forge, where I actually, I guess I learned to be a man in that gun shop, just sitting at the feet of my father and sitting alongside all of his buddies. And they told stories that probably shouldn't be repeated on radio, but sitting in there as a child, all of those men had one thing in common, and that was that they carried a pocket knife. And my dad, he would clean a carburetor with his pocket knife and wipe it off on his jeans, and then the next afternoon he would be cutting an apple with that same pocket knife. And at Christmas time, his pocket knife was in high demand because it was the knife that was opening everybody's plastic Christmas presents.
And it's interesting, too, I have to point out, it did say the type of men, and I certainly can relate to it because it was my father who carried the pocket knife. But I shared this article on social media, and I noticed that the people who were commenting were also women who carried pocket knives, too.
I got a lot of people that messaged me on that very article saying, well, hey, women carry pocket knives, too. And as I got to thinking about that, I think that sums up the women of Appalachia. We carry a pocket knife, and we're going to let you know about it as well. And so I liked that, and I appreciated all of them for letting me know that they're still carrying pocket knives, too.
So you got to quit your day job and pursue your passion. You're also a part of the Inside Appalachia Folklife Reporting Corps. Why did you decide to take on the Inside Appalachia Reporting Corps as well?
You know, as a storyteller, I think one thing that attracted me so much to this opportunity was that it would be a bigger microphone. And as storytellers, I think that one thing we all have in common is that we're always looking for a bigger microphone so that way we can tell our story to a larger audience. And for me, I feel like I almost feel a sense of responsibility, and I feel like I've been tapped to tell the stories of people I grew up with. And, you know, the people I grew up with, they didn't realize that they had any story to tell. For them, you know, they were very, very unassuming people, and they were just going through their day-to-day life. Little did they realize the stories they held and the stories that they hold on to are precious, and they're of a dying generation. And so for me, it's a great honor to just be able to tell the stories of people I grew up with, people that were farmers, people that never wore a suit and tie, people that never pronounced words that are five or six syllables long. For them, they were just interested in surviving the day and waking up the next morning and putting in an honest day's work and telling their stories to their children and hoping that maybe their grandchildren might listen. And little did they realize that here we are in 2019, and those stories that they told at the dinner table are in high demand and precious.
Jeremy, thank you so much for joining the Corps and for what you do with Appalachian Magazine and for your time on the show today.
Thank you so much, and it's a pleasure to work with you.
That was Jeremy Farley speaking with Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly about founding the Appalachian Magazine and joining the Inside Appalachia Folkways Reporting Corps. The Corps is part of a new project with the show. You can find out more about it in the latest Inside Appalachia podcast. Subscribe or listen online at wvpublic.org/InsideAppalachia. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Variable cloudiness today, some scattered rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s. A slight chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 50s and 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies, highs in the 70s and 80s, still a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Food and Farm Coalition, helping West Virginia farmers' markets provide food harvested that morning and brought to you fresh from the farm. Local market locations available at farmfreshwv.com. Our Mountain Stage Song of the Week is a modern-day blues original by Adia Victoria. Building on a deep, intense bass and drum groove complemented by horns and keys, Adia Victoria cuts through the fuzz with a gripping vocal performance of A Different Kind of Love. Again, that was our Mountain Stage Song of the Week, Different Kind of Love by Adia Victoria. You can hear more from the Mountain Stage when you tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.